swinging back to 80-20. You see that? It's moving a bunch. 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. We're looking at the numbers here in our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Are you satisfied with Governor Ivey's safer at home order that starts 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? It's yellow light. We're red light now. We're going to yellow light tomorrow at 5. And then the weird thing is the green light column here is lightly populated with some uncertainty in the language. It says more updates coming soon as we continue to monitor the COVID-19 situation. That's what's under green light. Commentary here from our buddy Rita's work in Lanyap, Yellowhammer News, Breitbart News, and of course, host of the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN. It's Jeff Poore joining us right now. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's always good to do this on a day after. It's always good to have you on, but it's Tuesday is often a big news day, so it's always a good deal to have you on a Wednesday. So Governor Ivey has the presser yesterday morning and says, all right, and amongst other things, that we are going to transition into safer at home. So we're on yellow light as of tomorrow. What does that mean?
Well, I think you could tell. It seems like just about everything except for, obviously, like movie theaters and bars and nightclubs and then, obviously, gyms. And the one thing I think that may sour a little people on this right now is that the barbershops and the hair salons and the nail salons aren't open. And if you look, what was the one business that was really defying or flirt with the idea of defying these orders, and it was always barbershops. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not saying this is the case, but it does seem that way sometimes that it's a little punitive, you know?
Wait a second. We were told this is data-driven, data and healthcare-driven. So are you saying that the decisions are not based on data or healthcare? It's based on punitive against the folks in the barbershop and salon world?
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't know. The data changes so much, and what do we know? I mean, I guess it's spread close contact, but could you theoretically put a set of standards in front of somebody and say one person in the shop with a face covering and the barber with the face covering? And you've been to the barbershop, like all of us have, all of us guys. And, you know, they sanitize the scissors. And
that's the barbicide. Yeah, that blue liquid, the barbicide.
I don't think, barbicide versus COVID-19, who you got in that matchup? So I'm just saying it seems like they could have done maybe a little more to get some of these other places open. I get the schools not opening and being strict with the hospitals, and then the senior citizen places and stuff like that. That's fine. The only other quip I would have of this too is we were told 14 days downward trend. And if anything, we've seen a trend that's been kind of flatlined. This hasn't been a downward trend. Why couldn't we have done this last week? Or why couldn't we have put this plan in front of people last week and assigned a date later on? Why do we need to wait till Tuesday to do this?
Good question. And I'm wondering, my thought process last week was the reason they wanted to wait that extra week was because there were some states like Georgia and Texas opening a little bit earlier. I'm wondering if this new safer at home, not order, but the encouragement from the governor's staff to social distance and only some of these places opening. I'm wondering if they didn't base a lot of these. We know they didn't base it off of the task force recommendations from Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth and the rest of that task force. I'm wondering if they looked at the orders in other states like Georgia and Texas and noted the public perception of those orders and tried to kind of split the difference there so they didn't catch as many arrows as Georgia is, who seems to be opening almost completely and being more middle of the road. Do you think that played a part in it at all?
Yeah, I do. They didn't want to be, they wanted Georgia to take all the heat or Florida to take all the heat, and they kind of did this semi-half measure. There's been a lot of stumbles along the way with this administration, and they play it safe and look fine, but they told us one thing all along, and now here we are kind of doing something a little bit different. Why gives? The other thing is, this has been the track record from the very first day. Remember, early on, we were doing these press briefings every day, and mm-hmm. something new would come up or something different would come up. And, you know, like, where did this come from? There hasn't been, like, a straight path from, okay, this is point A, is we're wide open, and we're, you know, here comes coronavirus. Point B is we're going to close everything down. That hasn't been a straight line. It's been kind of zigzagging and meandering a lot.
Okay, as we look at, you know, this, what starts tomorrow is got the state advisory, and then underneath that you have, you know, we'll get into talking about what's happened in the Birmingham area in a second, but you have different municipalities pushing back or either wanting to go beyond what the new Safer at Home is, or, you know, say that that's not loose enough. I know that Mayor Stimson has talked about, he disagrees after talking to restaurateurs and, you know, salon owners here. He would like to see, I think he said yesterday, the governor loosen those restrictions. So do you think there's going to be, while there will be civil disobedience from businesses, do you think there'll be, what would you call that, municipal disobedience or things like that around the state?
Yeah, where the mayors kind of go at it on their own.
Yeah.
Mobile, Jefferson County are a little different than the rest of the state because they have their own local legislation that dictates the terms. But it would not surprise me if some of these smaller towns opened up a little bit more just to get back to I don't know what they could do. I guess the health department, the state health department, it is, could come in and shut these guys down. That's what you heard when some of these places got out of line and decided they were going to open up. But I don't think a lot of these businesses that aren't allowed, especially the restaurants, are gonna be real happy with the May 15th thing when they see other states proceeding forward.
And then, by the way, too, the May 15th, that's a whole nother, if y'all look at that, I'm still confused about that, because if that's the green light, that's the go, it's called Safer Apart, it still is apart, right? I mean, it's not like, the green light here is not a true back to normal. The green light is just a lesser degree of safer at home.
I don't understand why we don't have a Safer Apart. Why do we don't want the conditions for all of these phases, red, yellow, and green, already?
Yeah.
What is holding this up? Why couldn't this have been figured out on April the 7th or something? Why aren't we taking weekends off? You look at, like, look, what's going on in New York is not a great thing. I mean, it's, but right, the way they're trying to handle it, you see Andrew Cuomo on cable news every day. He has a plan together, and he has people, and they have stuff they got going on. I'm not saying that we should take that extensive of approach, because we don't have nearly
the same casualties.
But we ought to kind of look at some of these other states that seem to have their acts together. I'm not convinced that these aren't things that are just kind of decided. You wake up in the morning, it feels like, let's open this up or let's close this.
Yeah, and you have to have, you know, we talk about the phases and gates and all that, although I think that's been forgotten the way the news cycle goes, where that is from the federal recommendation. But we'll continue this conversation with Jeff when we get back. Also, so we're safer at home. Are you safer on Goat Hill? Because legislature must think so, at least many members of it. And what about this push already for a budget coming out of the Senate committee yesterday? Governor said she was surprised by that, or at least her spokesperson did. We'll get Jeff's take when we come back. All right, 820 FM Talk, 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Continue our conversation with Jeff Poore. And to frame this, too, like we mentioned in the 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock hour, the House is not going back in session in Washington because I think Speaker Pelosi said the House physician or something said it was not a safe thing to do. But that has not been reflected here in Alabama as they have gathered back in Montgomery to move on with what is still, I guess, regular session, right, Jeff? These are the waning days of regular?
Right, these are the waning days of regular session. So they were meeting yesterday, not a session, but budget hearings. So the committees were meeting. If you were on one of the respective budget committees,
you were down there. If you were, you know, not, then you didn't. You got to stay at home that day.
Yeah, and they're talking about getting back in, you know, in earnest, I guess. Would that be coming up on the fourth, or I guess that'd be the fifth, be Tuesday.
Yeah, so, that seems to be the plan right now. They pushed it back a few days. Mac McCutcheon and Del Marsh pushed it back a few days. So that's, you know, I think they wanted to see what the governor was going to do with this order and then not try to get in front of that.
Let's talk about this. So I, you know, saw the headlines yesterday about the Senate committee okaying that $2.38 general fund budget, and we can talk about what changes really aren't there and what, you know, what's different from at least what they projected. But also the other headline said, paraphrasing here, but like governor was surprised or something by the Senate's committee move on this budget. What's your take on that?
Very strange. Our friend Sean Ross, Yellowhammer News, interviewed Ivy, and she made it sound like it was, you know, that they needed to come back earlier this month, about 2-3 weeks ago. It said like they need to come in and pass a bare bones budget, and then fast forward, Gina Maioli, who's her her press secretary, spokeswoman, says, "Oh, she's shocked by this or surprised by this. What?" What did we think was going to happen all along? I mean, I don't, you know, that has been, you talk to every member of the legislature from one quarter state to the other, it was pretty much they were saying, we're going to do the bare bones budget, then hopefully and probably the governor calls a special session. If yesterday was a surprise at the beginning of getting that ball rolling with the budgets was a surprise to this governor, then do we think she's going to call a special session? I mean, why is this a surprise? Why would you put that statement out? Now there's a lot of people on the Democrat side that don't want to do this at all.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Daniels, Chris England, and the guys on the Democrat side think you just need to push it back all the way as far as back and do a special session. But I don't know what's up with these mixed signals from Governor Ivey.
Okay, so let's talk about that budget for a second as well. Reading through the little bit of the reporting on it, and I do have the PDF, but I've not read through the details. But it looks like it a lot like the 2020 budget. So that means no raises, but there's no proration or anything like that mentioned. It looks like pretty fair, right? I mean, it's not big cuts. Although I think wasn't it Albritton said he was worried about not having the money to even live up to that budget.
Yeah, but what I hear, I talked to Arthur Orr, who's the chairman of the Education Trust Fund budget. We've heard from Kelly Butler, the state finance director. What the legislature did when they took over in 2011, when the Republicans took over in 2011, is they passed the Rolling Reserve Act, and they put limits on themselves on how much they could budget and put money away. That's going to save us from proration, and then they're just going to have to budget accordingly each fiscal year, you know, based on what they think revenues are going to be. And revenues can be up or down, but they're going to have to be conservative whatever they budget. So really what bailed them out this time, we always talk about that silver bullet or whatever. It appears to be this rolling reserve fund that's going to get us through the fiscal year. And then they're even going to have, I think, a little. The budgets are going to be up, actually, but they're going to put more money into prisons, and I think it may be just slightly in some other areas. It's not going to be what they had hoped, like teacher pay raises and other big items.
All right. Well, what about the other part of this? You talk about budgeting the $1.8 billion in CARES Act money that comes to the state. You know, that, I mean, we're looking at an amount that is almost equivalent, pretty close, in shouting distance of the annual general fund budget for the state. But now, in a discussion I had with State Senator Chris Elliott on Monday, he said, yeah, not so fast, though, because at least as it looks like now from Treasury, that comes with strings attached. The money must be spent for, quote, coronavirus response, end quote.
Right. So that's going to, you know, hamstring that idea there. I tell you, there seems to be a lobby right now to do some kind of state bailout. Have you noticed that?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So what, you know, Alabama may not be out in front leading the charge because this is a conservative state, but I don't know if they're going to succumb to the pressure and maybe perhaps the Congress will do something. It's hard to see that after passing $3 trillion already, it seems, but in aid. But might there be some concession there to get the next tranche or the next tranche into law?
Okay, but this goes back to last week, and you and I didn't get not even off air get a chance to talk about this, but I was just the Mitch McConnell saying that you know, we could maybe have bankruptcy for the states, and that floated around. I was like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to be talking about this, and I talked about it, and then nothing. And this week, it sounds like he's stepping back from it. But that was, to me, that's a bad precedent to set. Am I missing something?
That would be a horrible precedent to set, I would think, because you don't want to stiff the bondholders for state governments. I mean, then you kind of you put a element of panic throughout.
Sure, you do.
The bond market, and you put an element of panic throughout. I mean, by extension, the economy. The ramifications that are pretty bad. But on the other hand, I mean, Alabama doesn't have these issues. But on the some of these states have gotten in over their head with their pensions and things of that nature, been irresponsible. Does the whole country need to bail these states out? Huh? And there's some states here using this crisis to get bailed out of their financial irresponsibility. I think kind of like they used the stimulus in 2009, right when Obama came into office, to get some bailout for some things and that are totally unrelated to coronavirus.
Then we got just 2 minutes here, but I got to ask you to national stories. Number one, does Joe Biden lose in being the nominee? Does something happen here? Is there going to be a turnabout for the Democrats?
No, I think he's solidly the nominee. The fix was in kind of about a month and a half ago, it seemed like, when Klobuchar and Buttigieg and all these guys started dropping like dominoes. And then, oh, well, now I see Bernie Sanders can't possibly win, even though he did so well in Iowa and New Hampshire. It's a very weird thing, but you saw the pieces kind of coming together at once, and then I can't see the way that happened, him losing the nomination.
So these allegations, you don't think bring him down?
No, I don't. They have made it clear. The Biden campaign has told Democrats and their surrogates, just say it's not true.
All right. And the other question here, just a quick one, because it'll give you a chance to beat up on folks like me that like libertarians. Justin Amash talking about launching his maybe an exploratory committee to be the Libertarian Party candidate. Third parties.
He's the Evan McMullen this time. I mean, he voted for impeachment. He's a never-Trumper guy now. He's going to be their guy they're going to rally behind. It didn't work for him in 2016. I'm not sure it's going to be much different in 2020. I mean, yeah, 2020.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's no Gary Johnson. He's no Bill Weld, which, by the way, y'all, that's sarcasm. People will say, well, that third party is going to be it's not going to be the Democrats. It'll be the third party. It'll be the Libertarians that challenge, you know, that'll split the vote for Trump.
Right. And then so does he get on the ballot? And then does that become a problem for Trump? And maybe it hurts him in one state, hurts him with some electoral college votes. But that was the idea with McMullen, take away Utah from Trump. It did hurt him getting president against Clinton. Don't think that's going to be the case.
All right. There he is, Jeff Boer. And if people want to follow you online, how do they do it?
Twitter.com/Jeff_Boer.
Always a pleasure, man. Thanks.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. Coming back, looks like, let me check the refresh on my text. Yeah, about 5-6 minutes away. Checking in with Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson. We're talking about municipal response coming after the governor's safer at home order yesterday. How does that going to be reflected in Mobile? We'll talk to Mayor Stimson coming up. Y'all stay right there.
A35 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good rainy morning.
Hey, same to you. So tomorrow ends the stay-at-home order for the state of Alabama. We'll be safer at home. It's also your last chance to get online, McConnellAutomotive.com, and get some great deals this month.
That's right. I'm looking for that zero for 84 to go away. We need to get in there today or tomorrow. Y'all be careful out there today. It's a little rainy, but we'll be there. Got everything good, clean. check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or, hey, give us a call at 251-476-4141.
And are y'all still buying vehicles?
Yes, sir. We'll buy it. Give me the VIN number, the miles. We'll give you a price of the telephone. But like I said, it's a little rainy out there today. Streets are wet. Y'all be careful out there. We got a great body shop here back there. Take care of all your insurance needs. If you have that unfortunate accident, so like I said, just give us a buzz, 251-476-4141. That's McConnell Automotive.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, let's bring on Mobile Bear Sandy Stimson. As we've talked about it this morning, the Safer at Home order that goes into effect tomorrow afternoon at 5. That's a statewide order, and how it applies here in Mobile, we check in with the mayor of the city. Thanks for your time.
Good morning.
Morning. So you had said that you were going to wait to hear the press conference yesterday from the mayor and then react to that, and you did yesterday. First of all, you're safer at home. And what does that mean for Mobile? Is it changing? What does it change? I know the curfew was discussed as well.
Since you mentioned the curfew, you know, we are lifting the curfew. It really goes out, you know, it goes out on the 30th, and it'll coincide. You know, 5:30, less 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, there will be no curfew after that. So that's one thing. And I think what we'll start seeing, Sean, you'll start seeing, I think, a gradual movement back into the strip centers or the boutique shopping areas and to the malls, actually. And it's up to the employers, the store owners, let's say, and the individuals to abide by the rules.
You know, the governor's order, Safer at Home, talks about, like you said, opening those retail stores subject to 50% occupancy. Will that be the standard for Mobile, or will there be will it be less?
No, it'll be the same thing. And actually, yesterday, the attorney general sent a letter or gave an opinion about a city having the ability to enforce more stringent rules than what the governor has ordered. I've not read it in its entirety, but I know the gist of it is that a city really does not have the right to put in more stringent controls.
Yeah, I think, and maybe I'm off on this, but I thought the precedent, a year or two ago when the legislature said that municipalities couldn't change the minimum wage from where the state had it, maybe that, you know, they had exercised that authority at that point. Now, what can you do that's different? Can you do anything, maybe not more stringent, but can you do anything less stringent? As you look at bars and restaurants and you talk to people with hair salons, I know you talked about that last night. What do you tell those people who say, hey, the retail stores are open, but I can't have anybody in my restaurant? Even if I do follow all the protocols and make it 50% capacity, I'm still shut down.
So let's talk about the beauticians and barbers first. I mean, they know that we have been weighing in on their behalf. They've seen the letters that were written. We had 10 mayors sign on to a letter early yesterday to get to the governor beforehand, and we had actually weighed in with her on Friday about their plight. So they know that we're fighting for them, and they're tremendously grateful for that. My understanding from several conversations that were held last night is that in a couple of cases, their unemployment compensation or some of the stimulus money, for lack of a better term, has come in. And so that, you know, is calming to them. We're also looking at some other things as an avenue that we can help them. Not quite ready to roll that out because we hadn't completely vetted it. When it comes to the restaurants, it's the same thing. They were all really anticipate being able to open up, and that's why I think it's very difficult from a messaging standpoint. I hope then that the governor would give them a date certain, so because you can point toward a date certain and with some comfort, see, I can make it to that point in time. It's just like seeing the finish line in a race. But for her own reasons and then the advice of her advisors, you know, they decided that they could not do that a date certain, because they want to see what's going to happen with the number of cases that occur in the next several days in reaction to or in response to what's already been relaxed.
Yeah, but notice that when looking at that proceeding with caution document put out from the governor's office yesterday, a lot of details under stay at home, a lot of details under safer at home, and you get to the green light, safer apart, it's really nothing in that column. And that leaves a lot of people like without that finish line you mentioned.
That's right. And see, Sean, my perception is this, is that it was a big move for her to move at the time she did. I mean, I know that the clock was running approaching April 30th, but still, some of the numbers that we have in the state of Alabama, you know, they were, let's say, borderline, so, but she made that move. She's done that. So now I think her next focus is, you know, who is the next group that we've got to help? And I think it's going to be the barbers, beauticians, and the restaurant owners.
You know, as we look at the science behind this, the medicine behind this, and you have talked about it with us, you've talked about it at all your press conferences about capacity, right? We were flattening the curve at one point, and you pointed out last week that Mobile's hospitals were less than 50% capacity. So with seeing the elective surgeries and all that can go back online here with the order coming up tomorrow, now it seems like we're not is worried about the capacity at the hospitals. It just seems to me, then why are we continuing? I mean, I agree we need to make good decisions and be safe and clean our hands and all that. But if the fear was overwhelming the hospitals, it seems like that has gone away in this new order. So why not let all the businesses operate at some level?
So from starting last Friday, let's say I made my remarks that were viewed at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, but I made them probably at 1 o'clock. We started getting the data in for Friday, Saturday, and things changed. And so now the hospitals, there's not nearly the capacity at the hospitals as existed even as late as last Thursday. Okay.
Okay.
And it's attributable to the nursing homes.
Yeah.
But now we have reached a point in the hospitals combined with the elective surgery where the hospitals were not a concern. Now that could be an area of focus as we go forward here in the next couple of weeks.
Mayor Stimson, we've spoken in the past about the difficulties of acquiring tests for our county. Where do we stand on that now?
So there's a new company, and I think it's DocRx maybe, that has just bought a new machine, and it'll be identical to the machine that is owned by Synergy. And so they should be going online next week, and within a week of starting up, they'll probably 2 weeks from now, they could be doing 400 tests a day. So additional testing capacity is coming up, and that's going to be a big help. And that's the PCR test.
Okay, with that testing, I mean, I think that's a good thing. We have more tests. Of course, that's going to give us some better idea of the prevalence of COVID-19. But you had talked to us before, and after the testing of the first responders, that the numbers, and I know that's not a perfect sample, but the numbers weren't huge there, and the numbers of people that were actually sickened by it were fairly small.
Yeah, very small. And I'm not sure that hasn't changed, Sean. And everybody knows this by now, but the test is for a moment in time. It's at that moment. And so if the virus has continued to spread, you would anticipate that there's still spreading among asymptomatic patients as well as those that show symptoms. So we don't have a real feel, in my opinion, of that. We haven't taken a group like the firemen and the policemen and done a big test like that. Although now there is conversation about, you know, taking large groups of people, like say in the 500 to 1,000 range, and doing testing to see where we really stand. And that's
right
with the antibody test.
Okay, but we will have the capacity for that coming online to do more of those tests. And what do you tell just citizens, folks like me, Mayor, that I don't have any symptoms here, but I want to get tested? Do those people need to just wait, or when this comes online, should they get tested?
Yes, they need to wait. I mean, there's not enough testing capacity, you know, at this point in time, to just test everybody. And that's with the antibody test or with the PCR test.
Okay.
And then really, and keep in mind, the antibody test is only a screening test to see if you qualify to take the PCR test.
It just means you've been exposed to it.
That's right.
Let's talk revenue for a second here. As the State Senate Budget Committee yesterday moved a budget out of committee that had basically the same spending levels as 2020, with a few exceptions, but they didn't increase like they had projected. What about that process here in Mobile, looking at this coming fiscal year? Revenues, what are you suggesting? What are you forecasting? What are you hearing from Paul Wesch?
So, we do know that in the month of March, which there were only a few days in March where we were really, let's say, closed down, because of controlling cost and because of increased binge buying, we're going to have a break-even March. May actually be in the black a little bit.
Wow.
That's exactly right. But we did not forecast the amount of purchasing that would be going on at the Targets, the Walmarts, and the big boxes. It was amazing. I mean, I think almost, there may have been an exception or two, but most of them had record months. And that was in the month of March. And so we know they're going to do well. They are going to do well in April, but we're going to have a lot of other businesses that do really, really bad. And so April, when we get April's numbers in, it'll be about the 20th of May when we get those, 20th, 22nd of May, we'll really know what the impact has been.
Yeah, I wonder about that. You mentioned that binge buying. I wonder how much of that, if you go buy a bunch of stuff in a binge buy there, do you then later on in the year not go buy things? You see what I'm saying? Or do you stick with your normal spending?
No, your forecast is kind of like ours. I mean, we know that they've got food stocked away. They've got other supplies stocked away. And at some point, they're not going to need to buy. So it may be May, June, and July when you start seeing the effects of that. And so we're trying to calculate that into our forecasting.
Okay. So it's interesting to hear that because, that was not known, before you got those numbers in, and we're saved by ourselves in the short term. We'll see what happens long term. Just joining us, talking to Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to combine a lot of questions here from the text line into one. And basically, it's your thoughts on enforcing this order, the Safer at Home order, when it comes to the salons and the restaurants. We heard from yesterday, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, who said, I don't have the resources, and I guess he meant in that case the Sheriff's Department, to be able to enforce this across the entirety of the county. What is the perception? What are you hearing from the Chief? What are you hearing from the Public Safety Director about enforcing those laws inside the city limits?
So, Sean, underlying most of the United States of America is the concept that people obey the law. And so knowing that people do that, then I think that we have the capacity to enforce the curfew. If you get to a tipping point where you have more people than not that want to disobey the law, then you have a challenge. But there's no law enforcement anywhere in the United States that can enforce laws if the majority of the people decide to break them. And it's just that simple. So I believe that because of the way that the governor will approach this, that she's going to open things up. The city's going to cooperate. I'm counting on the law-abiding Mobilians to help us get through this.
And do you feel pretty good about that May 15th date for another change here to these policies?
Are you asking me what I'm wishing
for? Yeah, I am. Yeah, what are you wishing for?
What I'm wishing for is the governor would do something before then, okay?
Right. Very good.
But it would only, I think it would be satisfactory when I say do something before then. If she could give some date certain so that she's going to do something, I think it would be a sigh of relief.
There we go. I appreciate your time. Thank you for checking in with us this morning.
One more question.
Yeah.
One more comment. It's DocRX, Brian Ward, who has purchased the new equipment that will be able to do the PCR testing.
So DocRX, and if people Google that, they'll see, and that's that comes online, you said, now or in a couple of days?
No, it'll probably a week, 10 days.
Okay.
It's probably 10 days, 2 weeks before it comes online.
All right. Very good. Mayor Stimson, thank you for your time.
Okay, take care.
All right, we will do. So, all right, Mobile's Mayor Sandy Stimson joining us here on Mobile Mornings with some more details here. So, Safer at Home goes into effect statewide tomorrow at 5. It says it expires May 15th, where we may or may not go to Safer Apart, which Y'all, look at that column there. It really leaves me. These are a lot of questions. What safer part's going to be? All right, take your calls and texts when we return at 343-0106. Hey, thank you, Kane. 854 FM Talk 106.5. We're all getting rain on Mobile and Baldwin County. It's rare you say that. Usually things are in bands and all that, and there's some area. But right now, at least the radar I'm looking at some level, all of us are getting rain, and this goes on throughout the next couple hours. We'll get more updates from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Also, our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, are you satisfied with Governor Ivey's safer at home order? Right now, 82% of y'all say no in that. And speaking of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, one of those great local businesses that has continued to work on through the stay at home and now the safer at home, and I'm sure it's safer apart, they will continue. It's my buddy Trey. He's been doing this 12 years in Mobile and Baldwin counties, and he's doing, you stick around that long because people like the work that you do. It's a big national company, big name that everybody knows, but it is a local franchisee that makes that service possible, makes that attention to detail possible. And that's what Trey does, he and his crew. They work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And it's, I put all kind of details in this from time to time, but let me just tell you simply, you got junk at the house. You have stuff you don't know how to get rid of. You got junk at the office. You got a storage unit with junk in it, stuff you don't want. You want it gone. You call Trey. I mean, it could be big stuff, could be little stuff. That's what he is in the business of, making that stuff disappear. He's like a magician. So give him a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment today to get them to come out and see you and take care of the junk. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, 82% of y'all not satisfied with the order. And it sounds like, in some degree, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson is not satisfied with the order either, but what do you do?
And a lot of,
what you've got the state order, although you heard, and this is what I'm focused in on as well, he's saying in so many words what Commissioner Jerry Carl said, too, that at a certain point, if there's enough, you can't enforce the law if everybody is violating the law.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm not encouraging people to violate law. I think I agree with the mayor. By default, most people, this is just my worldview. This is why I, agree with some people, disagree with some people in general on things. I think most human beings, given a chance, will do right. And I think it's a minority that do wrong.
I agree. And I think it's a good thing that they opened all retail stores, because for a while we were discussing how only some of the retail stores, the bigger box stores, were open and how that was hurting small businesses. Even though it's only 50% capacity, I'm glad they did that. But I think most people are upset that the governor's office didn't move further on restaurants, because while a lot of restaurants are able to do these curbside pickups and delivery orders, a lot just weren't able to do that and had to shut their doors. And on top of that, they're not making the same money or even close to the same money doing deliveries rather than having people come through. So if these restaurants promise and are held, liable for making sure they're following the rules, I don't see why they shouldn't also be allowed to open.
Yeah, and it's good. I'm going to circle back, too. When I say I think most people will do right, most people will do morally right. And there have been laws before in our nation that have been opposed through social distancing that have been proven down the road to not be morally right, and those laws are taken away, right? And so when I say people do right, it's not always that they follow every law, but they do right. And, it depends on the circumstance and the view of the person. And by the way, and Dale has texted me many times about this, and Dale, I do agree with you, but I'm also in a pragmatic mode. Dale questioning why the state would get any of the federal bailout money. He said, do cities or counties pay taxes to the federal government? And they don't. Dale, I agree with you, idealistically, 100%. Problem is, the other states are going to take it, so to play the game as the game rules are read now would suggest Alabama not look the gift horse in the mouth of the $1.7 billion. But we'll pick this conversation up again with Congressman Bradley Byrne. He joins us at noon today on Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next, and updates from Dr. Bill when needed.